Amen. Appreciate your prayers for our Guatemala trip. We're excited about that, and pray for us as we go down there this week. Expecting a great time. Two other quick announcements that I just wanted to mention before we get into the word this morning. Most of you know this, but some of you probably didn't, so I want to make sure you all know. Pastor Weldon Schumann, who is our senior adult pastor here at our church, his wife passed away this week. So remember him and his family in your prayers. Karen was a sweet, dear lady, and she went to heaven this week, so we'll miss her. But we're thankful she's with the Lord. The second thing is, as you know, I'm taking another trip to Israel this spring. And I still have, we got 2 weeks left to sign up, so I'm letting you know, last call. I still got 6 spots left if anybody wants to go. Talk to me if you're interested in going to Israel. We got 6 places left, and we'd love to take you with us. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8, if you will. We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture that's a great passage of Scripture that talks about the freedom that we have in Christ. The freedom that we have in Christ. And there it is, life in the Spirit in Romans chapter 8. Would you stand together as we read God's Word? It says, therefore, there is now There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message you have for us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that passage of Scripture. We see that in Christ there is no condemnation. The word condemnation comes from the world of the courtroom, where if you were guilty of something, you would come before the judge and that you would be condemned, condemnation, because of what you did. You're guilty. You have to pay the punishment for the crime that you did. That's what condemnation is. So Paul uses that word to describe our spiritual lives. Because of our sin, we're condemned to die. But in Christ, there is no condemnation, which is very good news. In Christ Jesus, we are freed from the reality of condemnation. We who are guilty of sin are pronounced not guilty because Christ died for us. We accept his gift on the cross by faith. The key is to be in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, in Christ Jesus means we have a relationship with him. We're in him. He's in us. We live in a relationship with Christ Jesus based on love received by faith. In John 3:18, it says these words, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, we stand before the judge condemned to die because of our sin. We deserve it. It's just and right. But before the sentence is applied, Jesus steps in and takes our punishment for our sin upon himself. Sin is still condemned, but the condemnation fell on Christ. He willingly offered himself for us on the cross. In Christ Jesus, we are also freed from the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of condemnation. There's also a spirit that lingers around. You know, it's kind of like the smoke that lingers after you've had a fire and the fire's out, but the smoke's still lingering. This spirit of condemnation can linger around. Now, the spirit of condemnation doesn't come from God, for there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. It comes from the enemy, the devil, He wants to discourage you. He wants to frustrate you. So he'll bring up stuff that's long forgiven, that God forgave you for, and he'll bring it up and throw it in your face. He does that. Someone said, if the devil reminds you of your past that has been forgiven, you remind him of his future, where he will be banished by Christ. There's a story of a little boy named Johnny. He lived with his grandma, and he was outside playing with a slingshot. He was a terrible shot, but he couldn't hit anything. But as he went into the backyard, he spied grandma's favorite duck, and on impulse, he thought, I'll just let it fly. And this time the rock flew true and the duck was killed. Johnny was a little worried about killing grandma's favorite duck, so he took and hid the duck in the woodpile so no one would know about the duck being killed. Only to look up and see his sister Sally watching him through the window. After lunch that day, grandma told Sally to help with the dishes, and Sally responded, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny? Remember the duck. So Johnny did the dishes. What choice did he have? For the next several weeks, he was at the sink often, sometimes because it was his turn and sometimes it wasn't his turn, but Sally would always whisper, remember the duck. After a while, he got tired of this routine and decided to confess to his grandma that confession would be better than being tortured by his sister all this time. So he confessed to killing the duck to his grandma. And his grandma said this. She said, I know, Johnny, I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. And because I love you, I forgave you. But I wondered how long you were going to let Sally make a slave of you. That spirit of condemnation that wants to make us a slave when God has set us free. Sin will do that to us, but we have freedom in Christ. Freedom to say no to sin and freedom to say no to the devil when he throws that condemnation in our face. Through Christ Jesus, we are freed from the power of sin. This is good news. Paul writes, if you read in the chapter before this, chapter 7, you'll find that Paul talks about a struggle he's had where he does things he doesn't want to do and he doesn't do things he does want to do. He really didn't really have it all together spiritually. Chapter 8 is the answer to the problem, that there's freedom in Christ, that we can be freed from the power of sin in our lives. We're set free through the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. It is the Holy Spirit that sets us free from the power of sin. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, sin was totally defeated. Not just the sins that we've committed, but the power of sin was defeated. The power of sin was defeated. We forget about that sometimes. So we don't have to be slaves to sin. We can be set free to live for God. There's real freedom in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom. Freedom of sin is that it's possible. It's possible because of what Christ did for us. As a believer, we surrender complete control of our lives to God. We surrender everything to him. He comes in, fills us with his Holy Spirit, which means he takes over. He's in control of our lives. And the controlling power of sin is defeated because we've surrendered it to him. And now he's in control. God is in control and he sets us free. Paul states that slavery to sin will bring death. Because we are set free in Christ, we don't have to be slaves to sin. And when you're slaves to sin, it brings death. We might not even realize it, but when we do what the sinful nature tells us to do, it leads to death in all of its forms, all the different stages. Sin always promises more than it can deliver, and it never delivers what it promises. Sin, it comes from the devil, who is a liar. It brings death. But freedom in the Spirit brings life. The Holy Spirit gives us life. When we allow God to really be in control of our lives, when we surrender our lives to him, is when we really get life. He fills us with his Spirit, and the Spirit of life comes into our life. I love the words of C.S. Lewis. He's one of my favorite authors, and He has a classic book called Mere Christianity. Listen to what he says. It makes so much sense. He says, lose your life and you'll save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep nothing back. Nothing that has not been given away will ever really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you'll find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you'll find him, and with him everything else thrown in. Freedom in the Spirit brings life. This freedom is made possible by Christ's sacrificial death. We see a picture of the Trinity of God working here in the Scripture, because God the Father sends a Son. Jesus, the Son, dies on the cross for the sins of the world. And then he sends his Holy Spirit to apply his work in our hearts as we trust in him and surrender to him. But it's all made possible because of Christ's death on the cross. It's all because of what Jesus did, that we can be freed from the power of sin. Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. He's freed us. Again, not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. The power of sin. So we are set free to live a holy life of obedience. Verse 4 says, this happens in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. That's why we're set free, so that we can be God's holy people. And to be holy people means we're going to live lives of obedience. Free from the controlling power of sin, we're enabled to obey God. Our hearts are changed. It's like the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He said this prophecy, speaking for God. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He'll help us as we obey him. I thought of an illustration of this week. I bought a new car about a week ago from Ashley. Thank you, Ashley. A little advertisement for you. He didn't pay me for that advertisement, but he did give me a really good deal on a car. So we bought a new car, and we're learning this new car. It's the nicest car we've ever had, and it has all these gadgets and things, and I don't understand half of them, but I'm learning. It has this thing called, I think it's called lane assist. Is that the right words? And it's trying to keep you in the lane you're supposed to be in. So when I go wander over to the center line, which I did for the experiment, it beeps at me and tells me, you know, you're getting out of your lane. Or if I go to the right, it beeps at me and tells me I'm leaving the lane. It also, and I didn't realize this, it also, when I do that, the steering resists. You know, I can overpower it and go where I want to go, but it there's a little tension. It doesn't want me to go across the lane. It helps me stay in the lane. It's quite remarkable technology that it has. So it just reminded me of how God helps us when we fully surrender to him. We want to stay in the lane, right? We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to obey. We want to stay in the lane. And if we get close to the edge where would be disobedience, he warns us. The Holy Spirit's there to help us. Say, hey, no. And he even kind of helps us resist. You know, we can overpower him. We can still do what we want to do. But he helps us. He enables us to stay where God wants us to be and to live how he wants us to live. Little illustration from car technology. God sets us free to live this holy life of obedience. Through Christ, we have been given freedom in the Holy Spirit. In verses 5 through 8, Paul gives us a comparison between two different kinds of life. Life that's controlled by the sinful nature and life that's controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we have a choice how we're going to live. Freedom comes through living, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. But let's look at first at, quickly at those that are controlled by the sinful nature that Paul paints here, a contrast. First thing he says, their focus is on sinful things. Their focus is on sinful things. Their minds are set on what that nature desires. It makes sense, isn't it? doesn't it? That when you're controlled by the sinful nature, you're going to lean that direction. You're going to point that direction. You want to go that direction because that's where your mind is. Jesus said these words, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." So the reason a lot of people resist coming to Christ and receiving salvation in the name of Christ is because they love their sin. They don't want to give it up. That's what their focus is, on sinful things. Secondly, their life is characterized by death. In Strasbourg, France, there is an amazing, it was a machine that was used to torture people in the medieval ages that has been preserved called the Iron Maiden. Molded in the likeness of a beautiful maiden, it bore death to all that came within its grasp. Outwardly, it was very appealing, but inwardly, it carried death. How it worked is a victim was placed on a plate in front of the maiden, and a series of wheels and cogs would begin to turn, and slowly this Iron Maiden would begin to embrace the person, looking like a hug. At the same time, sharp spikes would begin to protrude from inside the iron body, beginning to stab the person, so they were slowly stabbed to death. Now, that's a gruesome story, but it's a picture, my friends, of what sin does to us. Sin is deceiving, and we think, oh, this is good, I can do this, but inwardly, it's killing you. That is its goal. We need to be careful. That life is characterized by death. Their life is also lived in hostility to God. Paul says they are hostile to God. It makes sense. When you're living according to sinful nature, you're doing your selfishness, you're in control of your life, you're doing what the sinful nature leads you to do. That's not what God wants you to do, so you're going to be in opposition to God. You're going to be kind of at war with God, right? You live in hostility to God. Fourth thing about this life is their life is not submissive to God. In fact, Paul says they can't please the Lord. They're in opposition to God. We're living against him. We are not submissive to God at all. Instead, we're at rebellion with God. And their life is not pleasing to God. Paul says there's no way they can please God. They cannot do it. Impossible. So that's the bad news. Let's get to the good news. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit is the good news. Those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, who have yielded control of themselves to God, been filled with the Holy Spirit, which means God is in control now, their focus is on the desires of God. Instead of being focused on what the sinful nature desires, we are focused on what God desires. A radical change happens in our hearts where you can actually desire what God desires for you. Isn't that amazing? Helen Temple, a great author, said, "The life of holiness is a life of wholeness and single-mindedness with an honest desire to please God. Because when we give him our wills, he does indeed give us the disposition to want his will. And it isn't hard ever to do what you really want to do more than anything else." He helps us. God wants us to be holy as he is holy. And he enables that. So when we're transformed by the Holy Spirit, then we can want to be holy as God is holy. Paul experienced this. He wrote to the Philippians when he was giving his testimony. He said, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." You see what happened in that verse there? God's purposes have become Paul's purposes. He took hold of what Christ took hold of him for. It's the same. His purposes are the same as God's purposes for him. And that can happen in our lives. The life that's controlled by the Holy Spirit is characterized by life and peace. Isn't that what our world wants? Life and peace. And it comes by being surrendered, completed to God, letting God lead us and direct us by his Spirit. Romans 14, 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." When God asks us to surrender complete control to him, let me just let you in on a secret. It's not really a secret, but He's not trying to take life away from you. He's trying to give it to you. He's trying to give it to you. He's trying to give you life, the life that you really want. He's going to give it to you. But it comes through this surrender and this trust in him. Jesus said when he was on this earth, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. God wants to give us life. The most blessed, the most fulfilling, the best life you could ever live comes from knowing Christ as your Savior and being fully surrendered and trusting in him. The life of the person who is controlled by the Holy Spirit is lived in friendship with God. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature are hostile to God. Those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit have a relationship with God. They live as friends with God. I had an interesting experience that happened this week. I was coming back from Boise, and I was coming the back roads and on Locust, coming back into Nampa. A little yellow school bus stopped in front of me, and no one was out in the yard, and I thought, well, somebody must be getting on this bus, so I stopped, like you're supposed to be on the bus, and waited. Finally, a grandma come out with a little granddaughter, about maybe 5 years old. They slowly walked to the bus, got right to the bus, and the little girl turned and ran. So the grandma walked over to the girl, leaned over and talked to her for a while, and grabbed her hand, and they walked back to the bus. The girl bolted again. So the grandma patiently walked back to her, talked to her again, grabbed her hand, walked to the bus. This is the third time they've been at the bus. The girl ran again. So I've been sitting behind the bus for several minutes now watching this drama unfold. There's a line of cars behind me. So she walks patiently to the granddaughter one more time, talks to her, and came to her the fourth time to the bus. The girl runs again. This time I see the grandma throw the backpack into the bus. You know, she's determined the girl's getting on the bus. She walks to the girl again, fourth time. I've been there probably 10 minutes by now. She walks slow. And she talks to the girl, and they walk over to the bus, and they both get in the bus. I thought it was a pretty cool picture. And it reminded me, you know, what God wants to do for us. God is so patient with us. He's so patient with us. And in a sense, he's walking us to the bus, and he's trying to get us to get on the bus, to live the surrendered life, surrender to him, trusting in him. And we run, and he comes to us, talks to us, let's get on the bus. He's so patient. He's not going to force us to get on the bus. And when we finally say, yes, Lord, I'm yours, I'll surrender, he gets on the bus with us. He's with us. We have this relationship with God. It's not like we're alone. It's not like he's trying to hurt us or punish us. He's trying to give us life that comes out of this relationship. Praise the Lord. We have this amazing life that we can live in relationship with God. The person who is controlled by the Holy Spirit, their life is lived in submissive to God, submission to God. Instead of being slaves to sin, we are voluntarily choosing to be in submission to God, to obey him and to follow him. It's our choice. We have to live it out, daily live it out. Be submissive to God. And we find that their life pleases God. It pleases God. You know, I hope that you don't have a picture of God in your mind of one who cannot be pleased. You ever met a parent or a teacher or somebody that you think, oh, no way I can please them. Everything I do, they don't like, you know. God is pleased when we surrender everything to him. That pleases him. He's pleased when we worship him. He's pleased when we pray. He's pleased when we obey him. He's pleased when we give. He's pleased when we serve. He's pleased when we love like he loves. God is pleased when we live the life that he's called us to live. You can bring pleasure to the heart of Almighty God. I think that's quite amazing. 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. The best life, and I believe this with all my heart, the best life that we can live on this planet while we're here is a life that trusts in Jesus Christ as our Savior and is fully surrendered to him. That's where life is found, the real life. We're going to sing a song of worship together as we close our worship time, and we're going to invite you to a time of prayer if you need to pray. This altar up front in our church is just a place where you can come and pray if you need to pray about anything you need to pray about. But there could be someone here today who realizes that God has taken you to the bus many times and you've never got on. You've never fully surrendered to Him and His Lordship in your life. And maybe today you want to do that and say, Lord, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm fully surrendered to You. I need Your help in order to do Your will and to live the way You want me to live. I can't do it on my own. So I'm giving everything to You and trusting You with my own heart. That could be a real turning point in your life. Let's stand together, sing a song of worship. If you need to come pray, come, and we'll close in a time of prayer this morning.